Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Gwyntelligence Podcast. I'm Harold James Preller, joined, as always, by Corey Stewart.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it a good morning?
There's a lot of things going on in Padres land, yes? A lot of turmoil. But one thing more than any other, I would say, is that we've still received no episodes of the 5.5 podcast.
Disgusting. Just such a lack of effort or even care.
I thought we might have lit a fire under them with our past podcast, but it just seems like laziness has played out with miserable SD fan Eric.
At this point, I just feel like they don't love the Padres. And maybe that's why this team is in a tailspin right now.
Is there any other conclusion we could come to?
I don't believe so. No, I don't. It's shocking. It really is.
I've heard rumors that he's saving his podcasting for the upcoming MLS team. Is that the same thing you've heard? I've heard he's become Soccer Eric.
So, 2025 should be pretty lit around San
Diego,
huh?
Pretty great for the...
pretty good.
Well, look, we're not as lazy as Eric and Danny. Or who's the pot podcast? Bluntly Padres. All of these foregone podcasts.
What happened to those guys? Well, did they overdose on the marijuanas? Is that what happened?
Again, the only conclusion we could come to. We've talked for very many times about the dangers of marijuana usage.
Yes,
so.
We have, right. This is the only Padres podcast, by the way, that does talk about those types of things.
Important things
about the listeners.
Exactly. Yeah. We care about our listeners' health.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
Let's talk about the Padres. They're currently 20-24. This is exactly where we'd predicted they'd be.
You don't want to go back to MLS season. Talk. You don't want to.
I'll talk extensively about the Loyal if you want to. If we run out of topics today, we can talk about the Loyal being unhappy about.
How are we going to run out of topics today with this?
I mean, it's very much like the, I went to the Atlanta Braves opening of their new stadium in I don't know how familiar you are with the Atlanta geography.
But I've been to the new ballpark.
In Gwinnett County?
Yes.
And
yes,
if you recall, there was a minor league team for the Braves when they played in downtown Atlanta, the Gwinnett Braves.
Yes.
Do you think that the supporters of the Gwinnett Braves were up in arms when the Braves moved in and built their major league stadium on their turf?
You've already
you
started pissing
people off.
Do you
think the supporters group was spiking their baseball scarves because the Braves were stomping on their beloved Gwinnett County Braves?
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Okay.
The Padres are 20-24, exactly where we predicted before the season.
Exactly.
Yes, just to put that in perspective, for a full season, that comes out to a 74-88 record. That's classic 2009 Padres era.
We've seen that story many times.
It's what we would expect with Nick Hundley at catcher.
That was also a $53 million payroll or something like that?
Yeah. Kansas City Royals pitching coach Brian Sweeney was starting for the Padres in that era.
Holy shit.
So, obviously, this is not where we expected to be, right? We've had, obviously, Manny's injured right now with a fractured hand, but we've had no real major injuries. Tatis is back.
Well, Suarez. I think that's hurt. Obviously, but I mean,
he's
the runners in scoring position, that has nothing to do with Robert Suarez.
Right.
Obviously.
And that's if we are not elastic enough to deal with one reliever being injured, then we were boned from the start.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Honestly, the team's played worse on paper since Tatis has come back. It's no fault of Tatis. Tatis has been pretty good.
Right. Yep. Tatis has been really good, actually.
But the team has performed worse. The idea was always that when you add Tatis into the lineup, it's going to make everyone better. And for some reason, that hasn't really happened. They don't use Tatis in a way where he would be protecting anyone. Until yesterday, he'd been leading off. So the only one he was protecting was Brett Sullivan in the nine spot. And that's not working.
Oh.
What do you see as the biggest culprit here?
Well, it's just the hitting you with runners in scoring position, right? I mean, that's literally the only real problem, right? Yeah, that's literally really the only problem. I mean, the starting pitching has been really good, actually. The bullpen's been good. The defense has been
Excellent.
I mean, you know, we've talked about it a million times, but the Cronenworth, and obviously we can get into the splits and all that with his offense, but I'm not talking about that at all. I'm just talking about just defense. Cronenworth at first has been, I mean, wow.
I can't think of a single gaffe he's had.
No, I can't either.
At this point last year, we probably had 19 Eric Hosmer gaffes.
Exactly. Yeah. He has been, I mean, just incredible over there. Xander, I know that there were concerns about his defense with his age and blah, 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 blah. He's been
adequate.
Yeah.
Which is all you can
do. Yeah.
And with Cronenworth at first, I think adequate seems to be enough. Right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And obviously,
Xander doesn't wow me. He seems fine. He makes the plays he should make.
But when that ball goes to him, you go, okay, that's an out.
Yeah.
You don't expect. Yeah.
I'm not worried.
No, not at all. It's just runners in scoring position. We could go back through these games and sadly you can't, but you could drop in one hit with runners in scoring position in this game and that game and that game and that game, and those are wins. It's just one at a timely, and they just can't do it. I was looking at the numbers this morning. Okay, runners
in scoring position. Just to reiterate here, Corey has done research. He has notes here.
Normally, I'm not Mr. Numbers guy, obviously, at all. But, I mean, Jesus Christ. Like, so, and here's one just for the Coach Quintero listeners. Batting average, we're 30th in baseball in batting average as a team. We're hitting .226. And I know batting average isn't everything, obviously.
Is that good? Is .226
good? But .226 isn't great. Hitting with runners in scoring position. A batting average of .196. An on-base percentage of .293, slugging percentage of .333, OPS .626, with runners in scoring position. Runners in scoring position with two outs, they're batting .190. Mm. Yeah.
You know, one interesting thing, though, is that our team batting average is so bad, it's actually not that big of a gap between their runners in scoring position batting average and the team batting average. It's really, I know the focus is on the runners in scoring position because that's what we see during the games. You know, that's when we're paying the most attention.
Yeah.
But the team batting average is dreadful too.
Yeah. And so here's something that's kind of funny. When I was looking at numbers is walks in baseball. The Dodgers have the most walks in all of baseball. They're first with 196. Okay. The number two team is the San Diego Padres.
Right. Look at this last series.
Yeah.
They were walked like 26 times.
183 walks. We're right behind the Dodgers, okay? And the Orioles are third at 161. So we're way above even them. But we're 27th in runs.
I mean,
getting on, and that's
the Royal series is all you need to see, the microcosm of that,
yeah.
Right?
It's incredible. It's absolutely
the Royals,
28th in hits. We're 27th in RBI.
Do you realize that the team has one home run since I believe it's Saturday in the second inning?
And that was the one from Jake yesterday?
Yes.
Which barely made it over. 15 feet or whatever the fuck
so
it was.
So we went Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, plus the majority of the game on Saturday. No home runs. No, none. Zero. You know, like, it's incredible. This team has these stars in the lineup, and we're getting no power. We're getting no hits. And there are certainly some people we can highlight that are especially terrible.
Yeah.
But it's kind of across the board in that our lineup is not producing, period. And it's hard to say why. The coach callers will tell you it's because we don't have a hitting coach. I don't think it's that. There's a team of people working with the players who might not have the title of hitting coach, but are working as hitting coaches.
Offensive
right?
coordinate.
There are analytics guys. There are mechanics guys. I think we have like a ball flight physics person on the staff. Like, it's not a lack of staffing.
Right. They could blow out the entire staff. I don't give a fuck. They could just leave Melvin there and Niebla alone, just the two of them, right? And we should still be hitting better than this.
Right.
It's Manny, Xander, Fernando, Juan Soto, and Jake Cronenworth. Just those guys alone.
Like, what the fuck?
I don't know. But I know that when I looked at the lineup yesterday, from 5 to 9, it's a dreadful lineup. And in the sad old days, we would podcast and we would say it's hard to win when you got holes at 7, 8, 9 in your lineup, right?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what it was back then. I think Will Myers was hitting 6th, right? And okay, he's right, not necessarily a hole. Yeah. We would kill for Will Myers at 6th right now.
Right now, yeah.
But we had 5 through 9 as automatic outs yesterday. And we even lucked into Ha-Sung Kim getting some hits yesterday.
Well, I was going to say, before we start killing the bottom four or whatever, like, Kim honestly has been pretty good. And yesterday was on, I think he was on base every single at bat, except for his last at bat, right?
He has some good games.
Hits, walks. Sure. He's getting on. He's doing more than, you know.
But let's be honest, he's not a great hitter.
No, he's not a great hitter. No, he's not a great hitter.
Like, Carpenter at the 5 spot is just a nightmare. I know he got a hit yesterday, but like, in still, general, like, on, yeah, when you have Matt Carpenter as your 5th hitter, and just 6, 7, 8, 9 are just automatic outs also, usually,
yeah,
on paper.
Yeah.
How do we expect to win with this?
I know.
And yeah, if you go back
that's
to our...
That's what Manny out, though, yesterday.
Sure. But Manny's been one of our worst hitters so far.
He's been terrible. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. You go back to our early episodes this season, you know, predicting how things were going to go, and all of my concerns were on our pitching staff. I was worried about injuries. I was worried that Lugo and Martinez and Waka were not going to be good. And, you know, for 4 or 5 starters, they've been excellent.
Waka's been great.
Waka's been really good.
Lugo shit the bed.
He's off and on, right?
Yeah, yeah, but he shit the bed.
He's
with
our 5th
yeah,
starter.
Still should have won that game.
He's better than Brian Sweeney was as our 5th starter.
Right.
So our pitching's doing everything they could possibly do.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
You gave up what, 3-4 runs yesterday?
Right. Yeah.
Not
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
But
even
did
part
you
of that,
look at this Royal? Oh, this is the other thing. Did you look at this Royals roster?
Oh,
it's awful.
It's
not a major league team.
It's hot garbage. It is hot garbage.
In the past 3 days, we've provided the Royals like 16% of their wins this season. They're an awful, awful team.
Their
pitching staff is. We lost a bullpen game yesterday, and their bullpen is their worst feature.
And I was going to say some of it is really just terrible luck. So it's not all terrible luck, but it's not being able to hit with runners in score position, sprinkled in with some of the worst luck you've ever seen, like yesterday. Yesterday with Soto on third, and the wild pitch gets uncorked, and it just is the perfect bounce back to get him by 5 feet. That's terrible luck, right?
Yes.
Okay. Another example yesterday of terrible luck was in the 6th, when Witt got the walk. Okay, and you got him. He had him. He had him leaning toward second.
Yeah.
And Witt's not easy, you know, to get.
Sure.
Okay. He has him leaning, and Jake's tag was just not great. And so he was able to sneak his way back to the back. And then...
It was a great play by Witt. The slide was incredible.
It was
stutter...
Jake should have...
Juke that he did was pretty great.
Nice, yeah. So, and then he goes to steal second, and we can't throw anybody out. And we actually get... He should have been out, okay? And it just bounces off Xander. I mean, it wasn't the easiest play in the world, obviously, because the throw from Nolan was going more to the first base side, but that was going to get him. Mm-hmm. It was going to get him, and he just it just missed it.
Yeah.
You know? And then what happens? The bomb. And then it's, you know, like it's that. We had him out twice. We had the same guy out twice. And it's the worst fucking luck.
Like, yeah, but I will say, we benefited from more luck than we lost. Like, a balk.
We got a balk yesterday.
They balked a run home. Like, that was a huge part of our offense
yesterday.
The defensive miscues, was it yesterday, 2 days ago, like, where they let the foul ball drop in the outfield. This was the first game, I think.
Yeah,
right?
That's a terrible, terrible, terrible baseball team, and they took 2 out of 3 in at home.
Didn't we have 10 walks yesterday? Like, that alone is just... I don't know.
We had so many guys left on base yesterday. It was incredible.
I mean, we're losing to a guy named, is it like something Pasquantino? Like, that's who's killing us here.
Yeah, the big dope. But
it's not Bryce Harper.
First base? Is he the first baseman? I don't even know.
He's a marginal major leaguer at best.
Yeah, right. You know, Monday night, we went to the game, and I was like, I'm looking at their lineup, and I'm just like, okay, I know who Bobby Witt Jr. is. Obviously, I know who Salvador Perez is, who, by the way, I would
kill for.
Oh, my God, please. Oh,
they let him fly out of town for some reason.
I don't know. Oh, man. And who else?
I don't know.
Chapman. I know who Chapman is because he's a piece of shit.
Embarrassing names like Edward Olivares. Hitting like fifth in their lineup.
Oh, it was like, who did we get for him? But like, you know, I was like, my brain was like, I don't even remember trading him.
Right.
Yeah. And he's hitting fifth.
Who's like, MJ Melendez?
Oh, Jackie Bradley Jr. Yeah. Yes. Who is terrible. He is awful.
Is he worse than Grisham?
I gotta look this up. Did he have a hit the entire?
No, I don't think so.
He's a strikeout machine like Grisham is. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Just awful, awful. So I guess should that just bring us to Grisham? Should we just get into the?
He is actually a worse. Well, he's got a higher. No, he's worse than Grisham. He's a worse hitter than Grisham.
That's impressive. That's impressive. Yeah.
Let's talk about Trent Grisham. A lot of Padres fans have this image of Trent Grisham that he's much better than he actually is, right?
Yeah.
You hear Padres fans and they think he just needs to shake it off and he'll get back to, I don't know what, a star level performer based on his 2020 40 games or whatever.
Yeah.
He's not a rookie. Like, we have 4 years of data on him at this point, right?
Right.
He kind of is what he is. Like, he's almost exactly duplicating his performance last year, where he had plenty of it. You know, it wasn't a small sample last year. He had 524 plate appearances.
That's a pretty good sample size, right?
And actually, even in 2021, if I'm not mistaken, the second half of that season, he was equally as bad as he was the entire season last year. So at this point, we've got almost two full years of seeing Trent Grisham being a sub-league average hitter, about 15% below league average, you know, a 190 hitter, is what 2 years of data says he is. And for some reason, a bunch of fans think that he's like a 260 hitter that's going to hit 30 home runs.
You know what really fucked people up? Some people was the Mets series. Because he was absolute dog shit for the last, like, I don't know, month and a half of the regular season. I mean, was striking out nearly like half the time or more that he was at the plate. It was really bad. It was really dark. Awful. They get to that Mets series, and he had a great series.
Yeah.
He really did.
Against good pitchers, clutch home runs.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Just a fantastic series. And then the Dodger series, he shit the bed.
Yep.
The Philly series, he shit the bed. Yep. He was terrible. But for some reason, just because of those games against the Mets, that small, tiny little sample, everybody was like, well, he was really bad at the end of the regular season and most of the regular season. However, he had a great playoffs.
Like, he figured it out.
He
did. Thinking Jim Leyritz in 1999 was going to be like a 50 home run hitter because of his playoff performance.
It's just not true. Mets series was fantastic, and he's as responsible as anybody for us getting onto the next round.
But he was an unlikely hero.
Yes, right.
This was not a statement of his true skills.
No, it was not. So right now, with the Padres, who is leading the team in strikeouts?
Is it Trent Grisham?
It is Trent Grisham. Trent Grisham has 51 strikeouts. The next guy down, and by the way, where does Trent usually bat?
Six, seven. Nine.
So he's not getting nearly as many at bats as, say, Juan Soto.
Sure. He's a bottom of the lineup guy.
And Soto is second in strikeouts with 42. So he's got nine more strikeouts than even Soto does.
Yeah.
And we know how bad Soto was at the beginning. That's terrible. I mean, yesterday, 0 for 4, 4 strikeouts,
nine guys left on base.
Yeah. The clutchest of situations.
Yeah, right. One out, bases loaded. One out, bases loaded. I think there were two times yesterday
that he was up. Pretty uncompetitive
at bats. Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, and some of the strikeouts were, I mean, are you fucking
yesterday
swinging
at? Was terrible. And I don't want it just to be like a little blip that he had a bad game. He has been tremendously terrible all season.
Yes. Tremendously terrible. Yeah.
But ironically, exactly the same as last season. You know, there are some small differences. His average is almost, you know, basically his slash lines are almost the same.
Okay.
He's walking slightly more, like 3% more, and he's striking out 3% more. So that's not huge differences. He's almost exactly the same player that we've seen now for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except now, in this year, look, I don't understand the defensive metrics super much. My eye test has always thought Trent Grisham is an okay center fielder. I never saw elite, but the numbers say it, so yeah. I trust them.
Right.
But if you trust those numbers, then you need to be consistent and then trust that the numbers show that he's been sub-league average this year at center field. He has zero outs against average, and then his defensive war is negative this year, so...
So let's say
don't see it. I think he looks exactly the same as he always does.
But let's say he was putting up the numbers defensively that he has at his peak.
Sure.
At the best. Is it still worth it?
No.
Right.
I don't think so.
I don't either. I don't either. I would honestly right now, I would rather see Soto in left, Tatis in center, and whoever the fuck in right at this point. I know Dahl is still hurt. I know that Sugar is still hurt. Sugar's starting a rehab assignment, I believe, today or tomorrow.
It's amazing that we're pining for Sugar.
Dahl and Sugar. I know, but would they be worse?
No. No.
Right, and what kind of a drop would you have in center field defensively? You
know, again,
one
of our concerns at the beginning of the season, we don't know how I don't know how Tatis is going to play in the outfield.
And look at
he doesn't look great, but he looks fine.
Hey, speed is making up. He's like a cornerback that is super fast and gets burned, but still
he
can
makes
make up
terrible
for
reads
and get the pick.
Yeah, terrible reads, terrible first step. but you're right. He's an athletic freak that makes up for it to at least be look average.
Monday night,
this is aside from his arm, which is like boner inducing. Oh, every way.
God, yeah. Every time there's somebody on second or whatever, and it's getting hit to him, or there's somebody on first, I'm screaming, run!
Yeah.
Please, because
I want to
see him uncork it. Like, yes. we have so little right now to cheer for. I want to see him gun some motherfucker down at third.
That play wasn't even close, either. It was
just like
the runner gave up on it.
Yeah, yeah. But the other night, Monday night, I can't remember who, but somebody hit one of the warning track and right. And I think he spun like two or three times, but still just made an easy catch. It wasn't like a circus catch because he had spun so many times. He still was able just to stop and
Look, the Kansas City Royals were maybe the worst defensive team I've ever seen. It was arguably the worst defensive performance I've ever seen in a series, right? Worse than anything of the sad days of the Padres. Like, this was bad.
Awful. Awful.
And yet we lost 2 out of 3. Meanwhile, we're the best defensive team in Major League Baseball, I think, but statistically.
Yeah.
And yet the worst offense. And ask me which one I'd rather be, the team hitting or the team currently that's 2024 leading the league in defense. There's got to be a trade-off somewhere. And so, fine, move Tatis to center. Let's get a right fielder in here, right? A left fielder, someone.
Go find some. Yeah, either go find somebody or just use one of the guys we have.
I guess
now.
David Dahl, but David Dahl is probably better than Grisham.
He has to hit better than Grisham, right? Right?
There's options. Yes, I would think better than. Yeah, I think he's better than a 180 hitter.
Yeah. Well, and hopefully would strike out less.
I mean, right.
It's not just about just not being able to get a hit in those situations.
Being a situational hitter.
Right. It's just not even being able to get a productive out and move people over or get a sacrifice to move somebody, you know, to get that run in.
Yeah.
Just something. Because the problem is when it is hitting in the 7 hole or the 8 hole or whatever, and we have the bases loaded with one out and he can't get the guy in or he can't move the runner over, then you've got two outs and who's coming up? Nola, Sullivan,
yeah,
like
Kim.
I
I'm thrilled when Kim is up at this point. Like the only time I have any hope is when Tatis is up, is when Soto is up. Sometimes Xander's getting a little bit better. He that was a brutal slump. Yeah. And Kim, the rest of them, I'm just like, if they even get a walk, if a ball comes in close on them, I'm just like, let it hit you.
Yeah. There's a lot of holes in this. Look, our two hitter is generally Jake Cronenworth, who we like, right?
Yeah.
His defense is good. I like him. Certainly, I'm not pining for Eric Hosmer. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely not.
But every year that Cronenworth has been in the league, he has been reverting to a league average hitter. Each year, progressively, his WRC plus is coming closer to 100. It came down to 109 last year. Now he's a sub-league average hitter so far. But that's where his career has been progressing, and he's almost 30. So that kind of is the curve that you would expect.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, and this is what the average sports radio caller says, but you know, it's like our brand name is really great, and you look at these players, and they're so famous, and everyone knows their name, but they're not performing up to that level. Jake Cronenworth kind of falls into that as well.
Yeah,
you know, big extension, 2-time All Star. He's not bad. I'm not saying he's a problem, but our two hitter is a league average hitter. That's not necessarily
He's better than what we're seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's better. He's better than what we're seeing, but I feel like the peak of that isn't really as big as. And this goes for Trent Grisham too. The peak of what we could expect from a Jake Cronenworth or a Trent Grisham is not where Joe Fan thinks that peak is.
Yeah, yeah, right. But Jake has just been awful,
slumping. Yes,
yeah, really,
and
really.
He
bad.
Had a pretty bad slump period last year as well.
He did,
and came out of it very strongly.
But everybody said he was hurt at that point. So, like, is that what's happening
again? Who comes up with more excuses than the Padres and us and fans?
Yeah, we're really good at it at this point.
Yeah,
we've been doing it a long time.
Right. I mean,
but that was the thing though. That was the narrative, was that he was hurt.
But then it was like, yeah. Oh, the pitch clock this year. Like, how many excuses have we heard?
I don't know. I don't know.
Other teams don't seem to have the same excuse. I'm just saying.
Something is going on. There's something is happening here.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to.
Look, I said what the 162 game projection is, how we've been going, a 74-88 team. There's no part of me that thinks the team is going to wind up at the end of the year at 74-88. Right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
But they're going to be better. Like,
yeah. They have to be.
There was a confusing quote yesterday where they were talking to Trent Grisham, and his response was like, I don't know why people are talking about this being the rock bottom. I don't see it that way. And all I read from that quote was that Trent Grisham
thinks it's going to get
worse.
You
should actually be saying, yeah, this is rock bottom. This is the worst it could be. But his quote implied that it could get worse. And I just think
this wasn't AC didn't transcribe this, did he?
No, I think it was Marty. So yeah, there's some room. Oh, here's the quote.
Okay.
Rock bottom in May? It does not feel like rock bottom. It might be a wake-up call for all of us. And all I read from that is, if this isn't rock bottom, when is rock bottom?
Like, you just asked two out of three to the
Royals.
Do you
not understand the phrase or like
And look, what's funny is even they easily could have got swept in this series, by the way. Game one, Waka was obviously had a no-hitter going into the eighth. I mean, like, you can't pitch any better than that. He was amazing. But through, I think it was through the seventh, we had three runs on three hits. Three hits.
Right.
And they had just this.
And one of those was in the inning where they dropped the foul ball that we immediately scored right after that, right?
Yeah, and we scored on a wild pitch too, right? Isn't that how we got one of the runs? Yeah. Was Tatis scored on a wild pitch or something? Yeah, yeah. And they just had this.
And we had like this 10 high school or so, kid right?
pitching or what, like, or JUCO starter. I think he threw 94 pitches total, and like 70 of them were balls.
And they left him out there to suffer, too. Yeah,
they left him out there.
Because
we still couldn't
get
Because
they knew how bad their bullpen is.
Yeah, and we still couldn't. Like, that's a game you need to win 9-1.
I watched that game, and I could not understand how we only had four runs at the end of
it. Yeah, yeah. And I think we ended up with four hits total.
It was terrible. We were happy that we won at the time, but like it was an honestly embarrassing performance. And it really was highlighted by Waka being amazing.
Thank God. Yeah. But that's what, and that's another thing with this pitching staff. Like, they know it's like the second you give up a hit, the second you give up a run, the second you give up a 2-run bomb or whatever, like you're immediately dropping into that mindset of, well, we're fucked. Like I have to step on this mound and not make a single mistake.
Yeah.
And that, how you can't maintain that for 162 games.
No.
Like your brain is going to break. Help the fucking pitching staff out, you assholes.
I don't see any immediate fixes here, though. You know, like,
no.
Like the fixes I hear are like, well, we got to cut Odor, who totally sucks. I'll add, totally sucks. Is almost embarrassing to watch a lot of times.
Yeah.
But which amazingly is he's one of AJ's few major leaguers that he signed internationally. He's still terrible. He's averaged like one WAR per year of his career, and yet he's arguably the second most successful international player AJ has ever signed over 15 years. Ooh. AJ's another guy where his brand name for some things is much better than his actual performance, specifically his international signings, which have overall have been dreadful over his 15 years. But other than that, the solutions are always like, well, let's cut Odor and call up Tim Lopes from AAA, a 28-year-old minor leaguer. Like we haven't learned this lesson before when Carlos Asuaje had like a 950 OPS at El Paso.
Right.
And like, Austin Hedges was hitting 25 home runs in El Paso. Like, didn't we learn the lesson that it doesn't matter at all and it's stupid and fake? And
yes. Well, some of us have. Yeah.
Like, does anyone really think that if we call up Tim, like I heard someone call into a recently noted Coxman, Matt Scraby, last night.
Okay.
About how we need to get a young guy like Tim Lopes and a guy like get the veteran Rougned Odor out of here. I looked up their ages and they're like 4 months apart in age because Odor got called up at like 19.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he's been playing for a
minute. He's like 29 years and 2 months, and Tim Lopes is like 28 and 10 months. It's like a marginal difference. So those are the fixes we're looking at.
Yeah, there's no hope down there.
We have no one in the minor leagues anymore.
We thought that, you know, with the catching situation, it's so funny because Nola and Sullivan are just dreadful defensively, offensively, the whole thing. And people were like, man, maybe they should bring up Severino. Like, he couldn't be worse. And then they just fucking
told him to hit the bricks.
Yeah, he gets TV as well and internet in El Paso, and he's seen what's going on here, and was like, "You're still not calling me up? Like, you got those two guys?"
And I'm sure it came to a head,
he's
right?
Like, let me out.
He had an opt-out date or something, right?
I want out.
And he was like, "Are you guys going to call me up or not?"
Like, and they were like, "No, we're going to see how it goes with these two guys." It's like, okay, well, I want the fuck out.
Yeah.
Why am I going to stay here in El Paso?
Great. So we got Brett Sullivan and Austin Nola up. Did you notice that every time the Royals had a runner on first, they stole? I think without fail.
Witt is so fast. I was going, like, the second
he got there.
Yeah, but I mean, even...
But it was like standard operating procedure for them. You get on first,
just go
to second.
Go.
There's a 93% chance you're going to make it.
Right, yeah. Yeah, why wouldn't you steal every single time?
The book's out, right?
I mean, and I'll say this also. Like, I know we're ripping the catchers right now and all that, and they are dreadful. But there are quite a few guys, pitching-wise, that don't really do a great job of looking over there and even making an effort, you know?
Yeah.
It's like
the rules are also guiding that as well.
They want them to see. Yeah, I know. But sometimes it's like, dude, you at least just fucking glance, man. Make it look, you know, just make it look like you're attempting to do this, because you cannot rely on Nola to save you if you're not even going to, if you're going to give him a running start. It doesn't matter who the fuck's behind home plate, you know? But yeah, anyway. But I'd still trade for a catcher.
Would we be better off with Austin Hedges?
Defensively, obviously we would. You really can't argue that.
Him and Nola are nearly identical. For hitting.
For hitting. Listening to our beloved Ben Woods this morning, and Woodsy brought up the fact that Hedges has not barreled one ball this season. Not one.
Not, I mean, Nola has the one home run, right? So we know he barreled one.
Yeah, but his was in Mexico City, right?
Was it?
Yeah.
Ugh.
You remember because he had the pinata on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or the pinata on. He had the sombrero on. In the dugout. Yeah. Yeah, his was in Mexico City. Yeah.
Ugh.
So I don't know. Do you think we would?
Yes.
I mean, it couldn't be worse. Like, that's why with the Severino thing, I was like, when somebody brought that up, I completely forgot he was down. Like, bring him up.
I didn't understand how Sullivan was the one you chose to call up.
A career
minor leaguer with, he's okay defensively, I guess, but he wasn't going to hit.
No.
It's not surprising, right?
What, does he have like two hits or something since he's come up,
one,
I think?
He hit the one bomb, but.
Yeah. I don't, it's.
But again, I'm looking at this roster and I'm like, I don't know what to fix. Like,
that's the one area you can go, okay, for sure. Like if you went out and just got almost literally anybody, it would be, you would think that it would be an improvement. I mean, it might piss off some pitchers or whatever. Cause I know some of them love to throw it an Ola or whatever the fuck, but you know, I know the names that are Grandal obviously is, been tossed around a lot because they're so bad. The Royals are terrible, and Perez is sitting there. I know he makes a lot of money and he's signed for like another 3 years or whatever, but they're not going anywhere. Maybe he doesn't want to leave. Maybe he wants to be a Royal forever or whatever.
Which he might.
It might be like a Votto situation or something like that. It's like no matter how bad they are, he still wants to be there, and that's his right.
But we don't need a star.
We just need somebody that is just.
Honestly, I would take a defensive specialist that can't hit because we have a quote unquote offensive catcher that can't hit also.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the other option is Cronenworth at first. Okay. We like the defense, but I looked this up yesterday. He's the 12th best hitting first baseman. The change to first sapped his value. You know, he was a 3-4 war player because he played a middle infield position,
yeah,
and hit way better than the average middle infielder. At first, he's not a good hitter. Comparably to other first basemen, he doesn't have the power. He's not hitting at the level of most first basemen. So you move him back to second, and you try to get a okay hitting first baseman, you know?
But
Josh Bell type last year.
So if we pop him back to second, he's going to hit?
He won't hit, but the level he hits at is better than other second basemen.
Okay.
We're trying to find positions on the field where we can be better than average, right?
Right.
Right now, he's not an average first baseman. He's a below average first baseman.
So what are you trading Kim then, right?
Move him into a utility role, right? I mean, he's showing his value right now backing up Manny.
Yeah.
Like, he made those plays at third base yesterday.
He made a great play.
He's
fantastic.
Made a great play on that the race to third yesterday on the tag of Witt, right?
Yeah.
Great play.
Yeah. Oh, no, not Witt. Mata or something.
Some creative player.
He was fucking crying that he got pushed off the bag when he wasn't. Yeah.
But it was like an incredibly athletic play.
Yeah,
and
really
nothing
was.
Against Manny, but Manny wouldn't have made the play.
No, he wouldn't have.
He's not fast on his feet like that.
Not, no. Yeah. Manny's smooth.
Right.
But he's not that, like, yeah. Kim just, like, scrambled
right.
back.
And, yeah. Like, it was, yeah. It was a great play. And so I think you're seeing the value that Kim brings, even though he's not, you know, this is the story on him. Not the greatest hitter, but adds so much value on defense that you can find a spot for him on the roster. So I would move Cronenworth. This is an option, right? We're looking for options.
We're just throwing that out.
Moving Tatis to center, that creates an opening that's easier to fill in right field than it is to fill and to find a center fielder.
Yeah.
Center fielders that can hit are really expensive, hard to find.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we're throwing Adam Engel into this lineup,
God.
Who is supposed to be a defensive specialist and totally sucks at defense and hitting. He sucks at everything. Which is not shocking because through his entire career, he sucked at hitting, right? I don't know what we expected out of Adam Engel.
I didn't expect anything out of Adam.
I don't know why we gave him a major league contract. Who was offering him a major league contract? And we were like, no, we need to beat that offer.
Oh.
So
no one.
I look at first base as a potential upgrade.
Okay. Yeah.
While still using Cronenworth.
I see the logic in that. I do.
Because, look, if Cronenworth is what I think he is, which is a league average hitter, 100 WRC plus, that's nothing at first base. That's 11th best in the National League.
Yeah.
At second base, that's like third or fourth best. So
still a huge improvement over what we've had the last 5 years.
Right. And first basemen are generally cheap, right?
Yeah.
Only dumb, well, only dumb teams pay their first baseman $20 million over over 7 years.
I mean, he's still pretty cheap, right?
Cronenworth, yeah, comparably cheap. Yeah.
What did his thing come out to? Like
that's like $9 million a year or something. It's not that much.
Yeah.
Shit. I mean, it's paying him till he's 38, which we or whatever. But
yeah,
outside of that, yeah,
right.
He's not that expensive.
No. Mm-mm.
But generally, first basemen are easier to find. Like Josh Bell was a throw-in last year in that trade, and he didn't perform like we hoped, but on paper, he was a great first baseman.
So you want to trade for Josh Bell, or do you want to trade for Will Myers? Who are you thinking? Ooh,
now we're talking. How's Will Myers? I don't know how Will Myers is doing.
The last thing I saw was that he was sick. Remember, because he couldn't make the trip to San Diego?
Yeah, we desperately wanted to see Will.
He had, like, COVID or something or some shit. I don't know what was going on. I don't know. I don't even know if he's back. I'm not following the fucking Reds. You know what I mean?
Maybe we should be. I don't know. What are we doing with the Padres?
Let's make this a Reds podcast, right?
What is Will Myers doing?
How is Chris Sabo doing?
Yikes.
What?
Will Myers has a WRC plus of 47. He's been worth negative 0.6 war.
How many games has he played?
33.
Oh, so okay. So
he's played most of the season.
So all right. So he's missed like 10 games.
He's striking out 36% of the time, which is actually worse than Trent Grisham.
How many home runs does he have?
Three.
That's
which is
it?
Also that, worse than Trent
Grisham.
And that's
a little league park. I really thought he was going to... Man.
All right, so let's scratch him off the list.
Okay, Myers is out. Okay, we're back to Bell.
Back to Bell, yeah. Just classic Padres. We're just going to rehash former Padres that disappointed us while we were here and then think that they'll be better.
What's that Ty France kid doing?
Well, he's way better than Cronenworth. I did take note of this. He's way higher than Cronenworth on the value ranking.
Oh, I'm sure.
But
yeah.
He's probably too expensive for us.
Probably.
Josh Bell is on the Indians. Sorry, the Guardians.
The Guardians.
That was racist.
That was racist.
I apologize.
Sorry.
To our Native American listeners on the day when the Sequan tribe is bringing a Major League Soccer team to San Diego.
Yes.
As well as a Egyptian. So
that's correct.
We value our minority partners.
We do. Damn right we do.
Josh Bell has been 97 WRC plus, so he's hitting better than Cronenworth.
Okay.
But it's not that much better.
No. Yeah. Right. Okay.
But this is really highlighting, like, there's not that many options here to fix this. Most of our players are entrenched in their positions. We can't improve the pitching, right? I mean, I don't really see a path to that.
And it sounds like
there's not a lot of marginal improvement, even if we did trade for someone.
Right. And like, even Ryan Weathers has been good.
It's been fine.
Better than what you were expecting, though,
right? All of the Padres media was jacking his dick after the last start where he gave up four runs. And they're like, well, if it wasn't for Honeywell blowing it, but like, he put two people on inning. Like, he was running out of gas.
Yeah. But like, he's been a lot better than what we were
expecting. It's not like he's excused for putting the two people on.
Yeah. Well, like, when we get into these situations where we have a bunch of games in a row and Bob wants to kind of mess with the rotation a little bit and give somebody an extra day or whatever, and they have that option in AAA of bringing Weathers up for a start here and there. And I'd prefer that it not be at Dodger Stadium, you know. I'd prefer it be against the Rockies in San Diego or somebody. But at least that's something that we know that isn't a terrible option, which is nice to have in our pocket. So pitching wise, we have more we're hearing things about that Suarez is on his way back. Morejon, don't care.
No, don't care.
Don't care at all.
He's dead to me.
Pomeranz is actually dead.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, literally dead. I think they had a funeral for him and a whole thing. Like Cosgrove has been pretty good. What was the kid that they just the other guy
Drew
that
Carlton?
I have no idea who that guy was. But yeah, the pitching's been really good.
Right. We can say like Brett Honeywell kind of sucks, but he's a mop up guy.
Yeah,
he's just a new Chris Matt.
Right, exactly.
Those guys aren't your best pitchers. That's why they're mop up guys.
Right. So you pop him out of it because Chris Matt is apparently he's close to being ready again too. So what are you going to do? You're going to pull Honeywell out. You're going to put Chris Matt in. Chris Matt's going to do the same thing. Like I love Nabil. I love that fucking guy. But that's what he is.
Yeah.
You know.
I figured Chris Matt had a quote unquote injury and that they're just parking him on a quote rehab assignment.
Right. Yeah. But,
But, I mean, he's good depth, right? Yep. Look, and another good I'll give it guy. To Weathers. Yeah. I don't think he's a great starter, but as a seventh starter, he's probably, I don't know, him or Martinez is the sixth or seventh starter, right? Switch off, I don't know.
I mean, but. I honestly, I hope they don't mess with Nick anymore. Just like,
no,
starter thing.
We just, said this first.
Yeah, let it go.
On this podcast.
Just let it go.
That he adds more value.
Just leave him in that. Yeah. Yeah. And you can put him, you can pitch him anywhere. It's incredible. And he just comes out and just... Yeah. Most people the other night, Monday night or whatever, I think he threw like nine straight strikes, just like boom, boom, yeah. boom, boom, boom. Like he's out, he's
pitched
like
on back to back days,
yep, coming out, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you can put him in any end.
Weathers is okay as a sixth starter, right? Yeah, I don't want to see him in the normal rotation, but he's fine as a spot starter. Yeah. We've had a lot worse, I know that.
Oh, my lord, yeah.
So, again, there's what do we do? Like, and here's the thing, I keep hearing from some, let's say, some company man scan or some of the other Padres media, but it's still early. It's still early, right? It's not early anymore. We're 25% through the season, but you can say it's too early, but these wins and losses do actually matter. When you start doing yeah. the math on where we go from here, what do we need? High 80s in wins, 90 wins? I mean,
probably 90.
We thought we were a 100-win team. That's gone.
Absolutely.
If you think we're a 100-win team, to get there, we have to go 80 and 38, 80 and 38, which is like a incredible record. Very unlikely, right?
Unless they start putting like...
But similarly, even to get to 90, we have to go 70 and 48.
Not
we have to be
easy.
22 games above 500 going forward.
Yeah.
That's very difficult to do, and yeah. each of these bad losses is making that more and more difficult. And I get it; it's still quote unquote early. We're 25% into the season, but these numbers are real,
yeah.
and it's going to get harder and harder to hit where we need to be. If you thought this team was fine if they skated in with the last wild card, then okay, there's a chance for that. It's pretty, you know, there's a path to that.
Yeah,
but. We're not getting a high seed the way this is going. Like, we're not.
And that's what I wanted. Like, I was thinking.
That's what we expect.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And the, as far as the, I'm really on that fence, you know, with the, what you're saying, but the, it's still early, but also we're just over 25% of the way through with the season. The thing that like worries me is like, we're 8 games back already. I mean, that's crazy. Like, it's not even June, and we're already 8 games back, and we're 2.5 back as far as the playoffs go. And there's a huge handful of teams above us.
Yeah,
that's the concern. You know, I believe that they're going to start hitting. I believe they're going to start winning. I believe that they can have a nice extended streak where they're, you know, kicking the shit out of the ball. But
I have this irrational fear that the hitting is going to pick up, and then the pitching. Is going to fall off, or someone's going to get hurt. Like, this is the Padres' way, right?
How long is Manny going to be out?
Right. Is he going to come back? You know, are we going to get the real Manny, too?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Yeah. I don't know. I think so. There's no reason to doubt Manny won't be a great player. But he's hurt. I don't know. I've broken my hand. It hurts. It's hard to hold a bat.
Maybe this... Maybe him going on the IL will be a good reset for him right now.
Well, in classic Padres fashion, there's no need for the IL.
Oh,
just going to see how it goes.
Yeah, we can't do that again. Like, they've got, and I don't even know who you put on the roster. Like, you know what I mean? If he goes on the IL, like, is it anybody that can even help?
Dahl, when's Dahl coming back? I don't know.
That's the thing. Yeah.
Look, but, Kim at third is adequate defensively. Like, at least it's covered defensively.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. But he's not hitting. I mean, he's been, and he doesn't look good. He doesn't look
right.
Confident.
Right.
He doesn't
something's up.
Like, so, yeah. And this was before he got hit on the hand, but when he was coming up, I was expecting the worst, and like, not just a strikeout, but he's like hitting into double plays and you know, and killing rallies. It's like, he's been brutal.
Yeah.
A terrible hitter.
I don't think he's there yet. I do think if you look at the history of a lot of stars, they hit a certain age and then it's gone, right?
Yeah.
Quick. It goes quick.
Yeah.
It's not usually a gradual decline. It's like a Pujols kind of decline. Oof. I don't think he's there yet. He's not old enough for that.
No.
But there is going to come a time where we're going to watch, and it's not the same Manny.
Yeah,
it's not that far away. It's a few years, probably.
But. Yeah. But right now, like,
everything was aligned this year, right?
Yeah.
And that's why this especially sucks that it's not coming together. And I have this fear that, and it might be irrational, but generally with the Padres, the hitting's bad, but the pitching's good. And then the hitting's going to catch up, and then the pitching's going to be bad. Like, we can never seem to historically align things working, the gears turning at the same time. And I just have this fear that that's what happens. And that might just be decades of scarring from this team.
I think it is. Because I feel the same way. But then I look at the roster and I go, no.
Right.
Like, they have to be better than this. There's no way they can be.
And let's point that out, the positive.
Historically bad.
Juan Soto has been great.
Yeah.
For all the hand-wringing.
Yeah.
For all the people calling into coach.
Yeah.
Saying that Soto sucks.
Targeting that guy.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah.
He's been fantastic. As good as we could have expected.
Yeah.
And there's still room for improvement. Like, he's still improving every day.
Yeah, he is.
He sucks in the field.
He's not great out there. He really is. But it's left field.
I
don't give a fuck. Yeah. But it's left field. I don't give
a shit. It doesn't hurt me. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, he's had really one bad... That one that he led to a couple runs, the one that bounced off the heel of his glove. Yeah. I can't even remember who it was against, but that was terrible. But for the most part, I mean, it's just like, whatever. I don't care. Right. We've seen a lot worse out in left field as Padres fans.
Chase Headley in left field.
Did we put Nevin out there at some point?
Yes. We had Ryan Klesko for years in right field. Like, come on. I don't know. Like, you know, just to get to 85 wins, the team has to go 65 and 53 going forward. Like, obtainable, right?
That should be easy.
But it makes me sad that we're looking at scenarios to get to 85
wins. To just be a little bit better than 500 with this payroll.
We need to be 12 games over 500 still to do that. Like, there's work to be done here.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of work to be done. Yeah.
And look, each loss, that turns into they need to go 66 in 53. You know, like, it's harder and harder. So these games do mean something.
Well, especially when you just look at that you lost 2 out of 3 to the Royals.
Yeah.
That is a dreadful team.
Yeah. Look, if anyone says it's too early, punch them in the dick. That's what I think.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. Dick punching.
Exactly. Happening. That's what we're charging
our
listeners with.
Punch them in the dick! What else?
I don't know. Just the despair of this team.
The despair.
Hey, can we put a hold on the pinata celebrations? When you win 1 out of 9 games, can we not do the pinata celebration?
What the fuck were they thinking on that? Like, I don't care about the Kershaw thing because I think that was funny.
No, that's funny. There's no curse of that.
Yeah,
we should be doing more of that.
Exactly. Fuck off.
They should have been showing clips of Bobby Witt Jr.'s dad getting shelled. Leading the league in walks when he was with the Rangers. That would have been a good bit.
That would have been awesome. I would have loved that. Yeah, but like having the Friar go out and hit the pinata when like you're shitting the bed against the Royals and you get like come on, man. Like there are levels to this, and that's
I feel the way with the pinata celebration as I did last year with the what was the stupid Panther statue that they had.
Oh, that thing. What did that last? Like
3 days.
But
they pulled the plug quick.
Yeah. Right? Oh, they pulled the plug really quick.
They were all about it on the broadcast for a couple days and then pulled the plug.
Yeah.
Let's pull the plug on the pinata. Come on.
Yeah.
They're not even playing the game correctly.
Yeah.
The pinata is a static pinata. You're supposed to be blindfolded. And
I will say this. I do like Nick Martinez in the dreads.
Yes. That was the bright spot of the weekend, or of the series, right?
That was one of the only good things.
Let's start.
With the shades on, the helmet.
Buy 30 more of those wigs and get the entire dugout in them, including Bob and Ruben.
I want to see Bob in one of those. I want to see Bob go out and make a pitching change in that fucking wig.
Yes. That's what will fix this season.
Yes, God damn it.
It's not the pinata.
And I want Peter Seidler in his seats right next to the dugout, right there.
I want Uncle Ron at the game.
Yes,
he needs some hair.
One. Get Alexis one. I mean, the whole thing. Jesus.
Yeah. Why are we coming up with these ideas? Why isn't the Disney executive running the Padres coming up with this? Where's Group Dog on this?
Where is Group Dog?
Let's go over to his house.
We should go.
He's
stop
right down
by.
The street. Let's go.
We should
over.
Stop by. We'll bring bagels. He loves bagels.
Yeah. I don't know.
We thought Steve-O would save us, and that didn't.
Well, good thing they brought in a Los Angeles Charger to throw out the first pitch yesterday.
What the fuck was the thought process on that?
How tone deaf are they?
What is there? Was there? Is there some? Because I don't really know him very well. Is there some connection with him that, like, for San Diego?
Didn't he play? I feel like he was on the Eagles or the
right. I don't like.
No, there's no connection.
He didn't play college here. He didn't grow up here. Like, I don't.
Even if he did,
they just had a Charger.
Even if he played at Mount Miguel or something. Like,
yeah, but like, at least there would be some connection. Is there any? Like, why would you? And we know how the Chargers are about rooting for the Dodgers, right?
Openly,
but like
cheering,
tweeting them out,
openly cheering for them in our playoff series.
And then it's like, hey, let's fucking bring out a Charger to throw out the first. What? Let's have one of the Spanos kids come down and throw out the first pitch. What are you fucking doing?
Just to clear it up, he was born in Ghana and raised in Fort Lauderdale. Zero connection.
So no connection to San Diego whatsoever.
We couldn't get Chris Pontius to come down here?
Oh my God.
We could have had a Wild Boys weekend. Instead, you bring a Charger in? Like this, look, I've had pleasant things to say about Grubner and this Disney guy, especially compared to DJ Wayne.
Yeah. I was going to say, we almost got through one.
Almost.
We almost got through one.
Well, DJ Wayne's busy putting up cringy Instagram posts, but
he looks good, though. He's lost a lot of weight. That's impressive.
Good for him.
Yeah. He's healthy.
Yeah. Well, I don't imagine being at the ballpark all the time is conducive to great health.
No, not at all.
But look, I would say this is the first, it's not even that big of a gaffe, but this is the kind of thing Partello would have done.
He would have brought in
who's a famous old Red Sox, David Ortiz, to throw the first pitch out in a series against the Red Sox. He would have done something like that. He would have done something like, inducting an all-time great Red Sox into the Padres Hall of Fame.
Something
foolish that no one would ever be dumb enough to do.
So let's come up with what would be the three worst people to throw out the first pitch in this Red Sox series with Red Sox-like connections. Who would be the – I'm thinking Jared Carabas, whatever his name is. He could do one night.
Who's the guy that all the Red Sox fans think Manny ruined his career?
Oh, Pedroia?
Yeah, bring Pedroia in. Because this is a double up on Jared Carabas, but it would turn into a narrative about Manny again and would lead into an entire week of Manny hate.
Exactly.
So that would be perfect. Oh,
he destroyed his career. Who else? Who would be the Ortiz sucks so much. Who would be the other one that we could with a Red Sox connection?
Who was the catcher that came over for a month? Couldn't catch.
Yeah, the fucking asshole.
The Wakefield's personal catch.
Yes, that everybody fucking hated.
Remember where they gave him a parade on the way back after he left the jungles of San Diego.
Openly hated it here.
Who was it? He sucked.
He was terrible. Oh, Doug Mirabelli.
Yes. Boom. Yes, Doug Mirabelli.
Okay, so Jared Mirabelli and Pedroia. That's who they'll bring
in. I would heartily boo Doug Mirabelli if he came back.
I mean, they did bring Leyritz back for the 1998 celebration. I could not believe that when he walked out.
He came back to all the celebrations, I think.
But he lives
in Orange County. Like, I don't know.
Well, who drove him down here? That's what I want to know.
I hope he had a driver.
Holy shit.
But, I mean, at least with Leyritz, you could be like, he did get us to the World Series in 98, right?
But it's like, what's the point of even of giving him the invitation? Like, if he hadn't have been there that night, would there have been anybody that would have went, hey, why is the Leyritz here?
Where's the king?
Yeah, where's Leyritz? I was really hoping Brownie was going to be there, but I guess he's just living in Georgia.
He has come back once because I saw him. It must have been the 15 year.
Yeah.
I think it was the 15 year. I think he came back.
Okay.
I think that's the only time he's come back.
I love that fucker.
Why would he ever come back when John Morris owns the team?
I know.
John Morris is such a dick to him.
Right. Oh, total piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just pillorying him for wanting to make money. Yeah. Wanting to get his fair without even giving him
an offer. Which he deserved.
So, yeah.
He deserved all the money in the world after that year.
Bill Center, who considered him the 64th best Padre in Padres history. Below, like, Andy Hawkins.
He needs to update his top 100, doesn't he? Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah, can you call him?
Yeah.
He hasn't blocked you on Twitter. Can you talk to old Padres Central?
Maybe if we could go through Bernie to get to him.
Hey, yeah, this is a good idea. Let's get this, because we need some new content that involves making fun and bashing Bill Center.
Oh,
let's put this out to our listeners. Let's get this new.
We need
thing.
A new the top
people
100.
Demand an updated top 100.
Damn right, we really
it
do.
It should, right? I mean, yeah, why not? I want to see where Juan Soto stacks up against
Gary Templeton.
Gary Templeton, yeah. He has Gary Templeton in the top 20 Padres, yeah. Worth less than one WAR per year while he was here. Meanwhile, Kevin Brown, who had like 11 WAR in one season. More than Tempe's entire career in San Diego, is 64th.
Yes.
God, Bill Center is the worst. Oh. Is he still employed by the Padres?
I think so.
Team historian or whatever?
I think so.
Hmm.
I believe
so. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. It is the, while we're bashing people, the new guy that took over for Jay at the Union Tribune, the sports department, Ryan something.
New boss, same as the old boss, Ryan Finley.
Is it Ryan Finley? Yeah, he started in January, and I'm just wondering if he has any plans at all of doing something to improve that fucking awful sports department.
Oh, he's still evaluating, right? Still looking at John Maffey High School articles and just incredibly mediocre, 10 days late Tom Krasovic articles.
Them putting the Dylan Hernandez... column.
On the front page of the San Diego
on
Sports.
The front page.
The one comparing them to the Chargers.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Which made no sense whatsoever. Just the dumbest
shit
ever.
Are you that desperate for content?
Yeah, like, apparently they are. Yeah. Yeah. I was so stupid to think that when Jay left, that they might bring in some new blood that would make just some changes just to improve it just a little bit so it wasn't a total national embarrassment.
Like, no. Ryan Finley was like, you know, a lot of people are expecting that, but I'm going to throw him a curveball. Yeah. What if we made the paper worse?
which is honestly how, because Nick just keeps getting older and shittier.
Yeah. Bryce Miller is getting more and more irrelevant with every article he writes. And now they're featuring Krasovic more. There's no writers under 70 on this staff.
Oh.
And meanwhile, AC sucks, yes.
Yeah, terrible.
But he hasn't done anything incredibly awful this year. And I will give it to him. The newsletter is weirdly written. His writing style is not getting any better.
I haven't read it once.
His writing in general is difficult to read, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
Difficult, weird diction and just...
I read AJ's... Casanova's, I like his a lot. I like Jesse's is really good. I like that one as well. And then obviously,
but I prefer Dennis my content to not be team owned.
True. I like the AJ ones.
Jesse's good at factoids.
Yeah,
things that don't require opinions or analysis.
He's
like
incredible.
I like what he provides with factoids.
Yeah, he's great.
AC puts out the content. I'll give it to him. And it's weird that they're choosing to use it in an email newsletter, which I don't really think is super monetized, other than they have my email address. Then,
yeah,
just putting that content into the paper,
right?
It's probably good enough for the. It's good, better than a Krasovic article, better than Dylan Hernandez.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the first time ever on this podcast. I think I've been relatively kind
to AC.
Yeah.
Look at you.
But that's how bad the Union Tribune sports page is, where AC is now. Better than terrible.
Yeah. I'll say that the photography department there with Casey and Meg, amazing. Their stuff is so good.
It's fine.
And Meg
they're
just
photos.
Got a... Hey, but they're great, though.
Yeah.
Hey, good. Listen, I have to highlight something good.
Yeah. Because it's not Ryan Finley.
What is that guy doing?
Ugh, the whole paper's
garbage. You think
garbage.
He's even been into the office yet?
What's wrong with this city?
I don't know. I really don't.
But there's no curse.
Yeah, no curse. Meanwhile, the locals are like, why are we on the 12th page of this? Why are we a minor league soccer team that pulls 4,000 people into games on the 12th page, stomping their feet?
Listen, I'm just waiting for Aztec football. That's all I care about.
That's what I'm always waiting for. I love me some 10-3 games. Right. No, there wouldn't be a touchdown.
No.
9-3.
Come on, don't get crazy.
Yeah. All right, Corey, we've said a lot. There's a lot going on. We're going into a Red Sox series, and they're actually good, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, actually, they're not bad. Are we seeing Sale? Because isn't Sale totally...
Oh, that could be ugly.
Like, he's back, right?
We do especially terrible against fastballs. Let's see. We've got Paxton. He's good.
Okay.
He's good.
Okay.
Sale, Saturday.
Oh, okay.
He hasn't been super good this year, but he's still good.
Yeah.
And then Kluber, who's been bad.
Okay.
A bunch of guys that have good baseball cards, like the Padres. Very similar to the Padres.
Right.
Their brand is much better. Meanwhile, we're bringing Musgrove out, who has an ERA of 6.6 right now. And it seems the breathing exercises over the offseason, maybe he could have spent some time throwing more.
We can't really go on.
He was hurt.
Well, the Mexico City game was just fucking brutal. Yeah. Oh my god!
Ooh. Hey, remember when we had hope about our offense after we played at 9,000 elevation?
There's been so much hope over the offense. I mean, before the season started, you and I sat here, and I was just like, "Yeah, we're gonna score a fucking fuck ton of runs."
All right, let's ignore the Red Sox series. I do have one other. Immediately after that, we travel to our old stomping grounds, Nationals Park.
Oh.
Slightly better than the Royals, but still dreadful. Let's put our predictions out there.
Well, obviously, if Mackenzie Gore pitches, he's going to throw a no-hitter. I mean, there is... We know that, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to throw a no-hitter.
Slap hitter C.J. Abrams is going to hit nine home runs off of us.
Just hitting nukes.
Yeah. They'll call up Jarlin Susanna just for the series. James Wood.
Who do they have after the Nationals? Is it three games against the Nationals?
Yankees.
Oh, and then the Yankees. Yeah, that's right.
Big wolf.
And the Yankees are they're a disaster like we are right now. Yeah. Well, but they're just in a great division, right?
Yeah. They have to deal with the Rays.
Yeah. So Nationals.
Can we win 2 out of 3 from the Nationals?
If they can't, I don't.
Is Patrick Corbin still pitching for them?
Oh, okay. Well, that's a guaranteed win. I would hope.
Well, I thought a bullpen game against the worst bullpen in the league would be a guaranteed win.
He was their opening day starter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He is pitching for them still.
That's how bad they are. Yeah. He was their opening day starter.
I want to say we can win 2 out of 3.
We should. Yeah. Well, I mean, we should.
It's sad we're not able to predict like we're not getting Corbin.
Oh, we're not getting Corbin?
Corbin's pitching Saturday, which means we are getting Gore.
Okay. Yeah, so Gore's going to kill us, and we don't get Corbin. That sucks.
We don't get Josiah Gray, who's actually good.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
I don't know.
So they have Nationals.
I'm going to go 2 out of 3.
Yankees. And then
Marlins, who are okay.
Yeah, but...
But I think Jazz Chisholm just got hurt.
It'll be one-run games, and we'll lose those, because have the Marlins still lost a one-run game yet? Weren't they like 10-0 in one-run games or something? And we're what? 0-10 in one-run games or what? I don't know. I don't have the numbers.
Look, let's get back to 500. Okay. Let's just get back to 500.
People, just get a couple of hits here and there. It'll be so much different. Just get one hit with a runner in scoring position each game, and you're in so much better.
Yeah. All right. Well, to all our listeners, take a moment to harass and bully Bill Center on Twitter.
Damn right.
Or send him a letter. That's really more what his speed.
Type up a letter.
Yeah. Mail it. You can still mail letters with stamps. All right, Corey. Well, for our 20 and 24 Padres, go Padres.
Go Padres.